Call all hands. Beat to quarters. Man out the guns. Stand by the starboard battery.
One broadside into it, if you please, Captain Bush.
Pointers on target. Linstocks ready.
Aye, aye, sir. Ready.
Fire!
Michael Redgrave as C.S. Forrester's Indomitable Man of the Sea, Horatio Hornblower.
Bloodthirstiness, of course. I'd read of the blind hatred that was said to seize on fighting men in crises. But, well, I don't suppose I'd really quite believed in it. I was rather a mild young man, I think. Country bred, not long at sea. So it was something of a shock to me to find that I could have this feeling, too, at least on one occasion long ago. The story of this unexpected piece of self-discovery began quietly enough, just off the coast of Spain, less than 100 miles from our own British port of Gibraltar.
Mr. Ross, call up side boys and Marine Guard. All honors to a captain who's an ally.
Very good, Mr. Chess.
And pass the word to Captain Pellew. He'll probably want to be at the gangway.
Yes, at once, sir.
Mr. Hornblower, make the Spanish captain welcome. To speak French. Ask you to come below for a glass of wine.
Well, Captain Pellew, sir, I've only got school French, sir.
I know, but I can only read the stuff, some of it.
Well, I'll try, sir. Monsieur le Capitaine, voulez-vous descendre au cabin de notre capitaine? Il désire que vous buvez du vin et...
Merci, non, monsieur. Je désire qu'il lise cette lettre. Ça m'étonne. Immédiatement.
Merci. He says, sir, he prefers you read the contents of this envelope at once, sir, without delay.
Very good. Well, now... Oh, it's in French. Here, read it, Hornblower.
Yes, sir.
Well,
it's... most compliments addressed by His Excellency the Duke of Belquite to the most gallant ship captain, Sir Edward Pellew, Knight of the Bath, and so on. But, well, sir, the real nub of it seems to be that Spain is now neutral, no longer at war with France, and must enforce her rights.
It says, sir, that we have been at anchor here 24 hours,
what?
And that if we...
The Spaniards leaving us in the lurch? Doesn't he know we've been his ally, a faithful friend? Why, it seems so. Oh, go on.
Yes, sir. 6 hours from now, sir, if we are still within range of the shore batteries, they will have orders to fire on us.
For gall of it, I've a mind to. Hornblower.
Sir?
You tell this fellow. No, never mind. I must let him see he's made me angry. Mr. Hornblower.
Sir?
Tell Mr. Chet to see him over the side with all the honors. Side boys, bosun pipes. Drummers?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Everything we can muster. Then I'll go below and do my swearing. Tell Mr. Eccles I want to be underway within the hour.
Yes, sir.
Infernal impudence.
discovered. It was almost funny. I poured out complimentary farewells to the best of my abilities.
And while I was doing it, the two captains stiffly exchanged bows of every phrase, hats across stomachs and so on.
But Captain Bellew was as good as his word, or even better. The cable was hove short in less than an hour, and as we slowly got underway, I stood in the waist with Mr. Wales, our carpenter,
looking across at the distant white town, which would soon fade. Two long, sharp prows had emerged from the inner bay and were pointing towards the Indefatigable. They were a sort of ship I'd never seen in my whole life, at least outside my history books at school.
Hi, Mr. Wales, what are they?
Galleys, Mr. Hornblower.
Galleys? But like ancient Roman triremes, is that it?
That's it. And manned by slaves.
Trades out of the ancient world, and yet here beside modern craft like ours. Oh, this is something to see, all right. How many does the Spanish have in commission, Mr. Wales?
Couldn't help telling you, Mr. Hornblower. A dozen, I should say. 4 men to the oar and 50 oars. That means 200 galley slaves per ship. Oh, and now our last salute. I see we're giving it.
They're replying from the port of Cadiz.
Yes, a bit ironic, these courtesy salutes. Hornblower, I'll wager the next time we hear those guns from shore, they'll be firing the real thing.
Lieutenant Ross was quite right in that prophecy. The tide of war was turning against England. Nation after nation was retiring from the contest against the tyrant Bonaparte. And in the weeks that followed, it looked as if we would soon stand almost alone against the world.
I do not like the look of it, Mr. Chad. Don't like it one little bit.
The current is quite strong, sir. And what faint prevailing winds there are blowing in the same direction. And our grain ship...
Confound it all. I'd give my arm for 2 hours of a southerly wind just now. That's all we need to waft us up to the mole. Well, what is it, Mr. Hornblower?
Sir, masthead lookout has just reported. Vessels approaching far off on the port beam. Lieutenant Ross asks for instructions, sir.
Port beam, eh? Give me that glass, Mr. Chad. Yes, I think I can barely detect... Take the glass, Mr. Chad. Horizon's extremely hazy, but... Tell me if I've seen her right. Unless I'm very much mistaken, it's our friends from Cadiz.
From Cadiz, sir? I don't quite follow.
The galleys, man, the Spanish galleys. Look carefully now. Can't you make out the rise and fall of those damnable oars?
Yes, sir, by heaven, that's exactly what they are. The galleys. And, sir, they're heading straight for us, or I'm a blind man.
Quick now. I'll want you on the quarterdeck, Mr. Chad. We'll arm the men, ready the longboats. Come.
I'll call all hands to quarters immediately, sir.
Apparently, the galley's intention was to fall upon the merchant ships lying farthest behind in the convoy. 3 grain ships lay within half a mile of us and might be covered by our gunfire. But the others could expect no such protection. And a pair of galleys sped toward these, looking like ghosts. Sinister ghosts of long-dead cruelties and injustices.
Are all folks assembled, Mr. Chad? Aye, sir. Mr. Soames will command the cutter. Mr. Mason, the longboat. I want 6 pounder carronades lowered into both boats. And grappling irons, of course.
Yes, sir. They're already equipped. Mr. Hornblower, sir, you are to check all personal arms.
Yes, but make sure each hand has pistol and cutlass as he goes overside.
Oh, I thought perhaps the jolly boat was going too, sir. That's my special charge.
Oh, you know, sir. Your jolly boat attack one of those war galleys, Hornblower? A 12-foot nutshell with a crew of 6? Don't make me laugh.
Well, sir. We could just pull to one of the grain convoy 7 and reinforce her crew against attack.
Well, yes, possibly. Captain Pelusa, what do you think of the young man's proposal? He says he and his crew might be required by one of the convoy.
Jackson, Go bring our other men, Bill.
Be quick now.
All right, Mr. Hornblower. Be about it then. Make for any one of our ships that may need help. And put your men aboard her.
But
don't waste any more time with talk of jolly boats in action.
Thank you, sir. Jackson, under!
All six of us is ready, Mr. Hornblower. They were all here for the davits anyhow.
Good. Got pistols and cutlasses?
Aye, sir.
Then swing out the jolly boat.
You're aching to attack them demon ships yourselves.
Quiet. Well, we just might want to, Jackson, if the chance came. Are you willing? And the others, too?
Willing? I long to have a crack at them myself. So does all six of us. Don't worry none about it, sir.
Good. Then we'll see. In my crew was glaring in hostility at the two war galleys as we pulled away from the Indefatigable. As for myself, I'd never in my life felt the sudden, violent, personal hate that shook me now. The longboat and the cutter, both much larger than our little craft, had a good start on us and made fast headway. We lagged behind, and I found myself clutching the tiller and leaning forward in my eagerness to be at grips somehow with this weird enemy.
Just look at them galleys or blades fly. The way they come sweeping down is something. Why, sir, there'd hardly be time now to board a grain ship if you wanted to.
I think you're right. I'm going to pull the tiller over. We'll follow the cutter, for better or for worse.
Sir?
Well, Hunter?
I can see Mr. Soames at the cutter. Give him orders, sir. She's pointing her six-pounder at the galleys. She going to fire?
I wonder. It's much too great a range for that six-pounder pop gun, I'm afraid.
All the same, I'm glad to see she's ready.
Sir, look there.
What is it?
There's the other galley. Big as life. Gliding right in between them two merchant ships.
And our cutter's in her very path.
Pull, man. Pull! We've got to get out there and help. Pull for your lives, I tell you. Pull!
We're gaining on the cutter, Mr. Ormblower. She's fired. The cutter's fired.
Straight at the galley's bow. This has done no good. It's just splinters, see?
This don't look good for the cutter, sir.
Those oars are quickening now, and the galleys... galleys coming down to ram her. It's like the Greeks at Salamis or somewhere.
Pull! Just missed our own cutter, sir. And now we're past her. Shall we turn about and...
She's going to ram the cutter.
Why, Leoli, they cleaved the cutter right in two. And Mr. Soames was standing up in the stern sheets when she struck.
Yes. I can't even see him now. It was a chilling sight. One moment before, Lieutenant Soames looking straight at the death which cleaved towards him through the blue water. And now, no trace of him or half his men. A few men clung to the severed cutter's stern parts. But as the Spanish galley's starboard oars swept by us, just clearing us and our own oars, she rode them down relentlessly and passed over their bobbing heads.
Give way, Port! Give way! Use your grapnel, Jackson. Use it now. We're going aboard that devil ship.
Jackson yelled an oath in reply and hurled our grappling hook on its long line. It caught in the florid gilt rail of the galley's quarter just before she swept out of our reach. I was wild with rage and horror now. Somehow we must avenge that cutter's crew. Our own men had been slaughtered by this ghost out of the past. I already loathed her for her brutal slavery, but... but the cutter's fate was the last straw.
I can't hold her, sir. Do you feel that pull? Line's cutting my hands off.
Take a turn round the cleat. Don't be a fool. We've got to hold on to her, Jackson.
She's fast round the cleat.
could.
I swear it's like we'd harpooned a whale, ain't it, sir?
Looks like, mister. They've seen us. There's a Spaniard running aft on her poop. He's got a knife to cut our line.
Well, then, shoot him, Hunter.
Good shot, Hunter. He fell right out of sight below the rail.
Look, men, the odds are heavy against us, but we've a good chance to climb aboard. Are you for it? We're only seven.
Aye, aye, sir.
Good lads. All right, pull up then there. You, Davis, you, Carson, give Jackson a hand with the line. Haul us up in closer to our stern.
They were as fighting mad as I. All of us shouting at each other, shaking with fury and excitement. Now, it was then that word I'd read came back to me, flared in my mind like fire. Bloodthirstiness. Well, finally I knew what that word meant. I was insane with it. Then, four or five swarthy faces appeared above the galley's gilded stern, and muskets pointed down into the jolly boat.
Out pistols, lads, and fire!
Them Spanish heads went out of sight right quickly, sir. Carson's near conscious.
Reload.
Watch out, Mr. Hornblower. Someone's pushed a musket barrel through the window in that after cabin up there.
You've got a nice aim, sir.
I'm heading for that broken cabin window in the stern. Now, bring the men after me, one at a time.
Aye, aye, sir.
I flung myself at the grapnel line. My legs grazed the water as the line sagged, but my arms finally carried me upwards. I swung up my feet, kicked out what remained of the shattered window, and hurled myself through. I came down on the cabin deck with a thud and peered about me in the dim cabin. The Spaniard who'd aimed through the window lay there dead. I was alone.
You needn't jump, sir. It's only me. Are we all alone in here, sir?
Just don't talk so loud. Are the others coming, Jackson?
Hunter's next. They'll all be here, sir, except Carson.
Good. Well, we can't wait for them now.
But, sir, hear that commotion up above.
Look, now, speed's the important thing, Jackson. Now, come along. Here's the cabin door. Find the officers first, Jackson. Got your cutlass ready?
Aye, aye, sir. Good. Look, there's their two big guns up forward.
Yes.
And three or four men on the forecastle.
Yes, but there'll be more on the poop just above us.
Look behind you.
What?
More Spaniards from the forecastle. They got their swords out, too.
More Spaniards.
It's what? Mr. Chad and some hands, sir. They're coming overside.
By inadvertence, we didn't follow instructions. You see, sir, it was...
Oh, but the Admiral will be pleased all the same, Mr. Hornblower.
How's that, sir?
And now that we've lost poor Mr. Soames in that accident with the cutter, I rather think you shall need another watchkeeping officer. I have it in mind to give you an order as acting lieutenant, young man.
Acting lieutenant, sir? But, sir, I just lost my head, I think. I boarded the galley in a kind of fit of, insanity, perhaps.
It might be well if more young officers lost their heads in that way, then.
But, sir, I wouldn't like to make false pretenses, sir. And now I'm honored for it. I'm almost ashamed of that blind rage now, sir. I must be honest, I am.
Never question the lucky things that happen to you, Mr. Hornblower. You'll learn more moderation in good time. Unfortunately.
Thank you, sir.
Horatio Hornblower, starring Michael Redgrave, is based on the novels by C.S. Forrester. Music composed and conducted by Sidney Torch. Produced by Harry Allen Towers.